The Takeaway is supported by The Wall Street Journal's new weekend edition. Digest the past week's people, places, and stories in business news and prepare for what's ahead. Join now and receive 50% off 1 year at wsj.com/takeaway.
My name is Alberto, and we're from El Salvador. We've been here in the U.S. since September 2015, fleeing from violence.
In 2015, Alberto and his 7-year-old son attempted to come to the United States. Alberto's wife and daughter would try to follow later.
Well, honestly, in El Salvador, it's really difficult with the gangs. If one pays the rent they demand, one can live for a certain amount of time. But honestly, it's not stable. But if someone does not have a way to give them the money they demand, they kill them.
They didn't have papers, but they tried to cross the border anyway. Then they were apprehended by immigration agents.
They put us adults in one place and the youngest in another place. And they don't let you see them. They just tell you they're going to be okay.
Agents put Alberto in one cell and his son in another.
Yes, it was only for one night, but it was really hard not knowing. What are they going to do with my son, or what are they going to do with me? Many things go through your mind.
It was one night that Alberto cannot forget.
When someone enters the place, the one known as the icebox, there isn't a place for one to lay down. You have to lay down on the floor. And for a person, they only give you They only give you a plastic, but that doesn't protect you from the cold at all. If I'm in that situation, sleeping like that in that moment, well, I was thinking, what could be happening to my child?
Now, we have to be clear. This was in 2015, under the Obama administration. At the time, the official policy for Customs and Border Patrol was explicitly not to separate parents from their children, especially for mothers and their children. But CBP officials could use discretion. We contacted a former senior immigration official in the Obama administration, and he told us, quote, "When a family is apprehended at the border, it is indeed the case that the kids are placed in a location with other kids while the parent is initially screened. This is because when the Border Patrol first apprehends a group of many people, it is not safe to have grown men in cells with little kids." He added that in these situations, the parent and the child were in the same facility even when separated, which is different than what's happening under Trump. Today, parents are being prosecuted and their child is being taken to an entirely different facility. But we're telling you Alberto's story so we can understand what it feels like to seek asylum in the United States and be separated from your child, even for one night. And Alberto said agents did not explain where they would put his child. They only told him he would be safe.
Yes, even though it was one night, it's really hard being in that moment. And I don't wish that on anyone for that to happen. So yeah, it's really hard. When we were finally together, he hugged me and cried. So imagine what could have gone on in his little mind. Being so young and being separated that night, it's really hard.
Today, Alberto and his family are living in the United States and seeking asylum. Their case is pending. But even now, his son is scared to be too far apart.
He doesn't like being in that moment again, like that, separated from his mom, from me, his sister. He says so. He doesn't want to live that again.
Now, under the Trump administration, there is a zero-tolerance policy at the border. The administration says migrants who try to cross illegally will be apprehended, charged with a crime, and separated from their children for an unknown amount of time. There have been media reports of ICE agents misleading parents, telling them their kids are just being taken away for questioning, or in one instance, just being taken for a bath, with parents learning hours later that their children are not coming back. I'm Tanzina Vega, and today on The Takeaway, the trauma of family separation and its long-term impact on kids. It's hard to know exactly how many families are being separated through President Trump's zero-tolerance policy. A U.S. Customs and Border Protection official testified last month to Congress that 658 children were separated from 638 parents between May 6th and May 19th. That's just a two-week period. In order to house the increasing number of migrant children, the Trump administration just announced it is looking to build tent cities at military posts in Texas.
The impact is harmful on children.
That's Dr. Colleen A. Kraft, and she's the president of the American Academy of Pediatrics. On behalf of that organization, she's asked the Department of Homeland Security to stop removing children from their parents for the sake of their mental and physical health. She recently visited a detention center that held children who had been separated from their parents.
What I visited was a shelter that was staffed by the Office for Refugee Resettlement. And when I went in there, the first room I went into was the toddler room. And in the toddler room, there were several children who were very young, anywhere between 18 months and 3 years of age. And there was one little girl who was just crying and sobbing and couldn't be consoled on one of the mats in the center. The staff were by her, but they weren't allowed to hold her or comfort her. So she was just crying and wailing. Her little arms and legs were just pounding, and she was inconsolable. And we all knew why. We knew that she had been taken from her mother, and she wanted her mother.
So we just heard the story of one migrant, Alberto, and he and his son were separated for just a day. But we know that this is occurring in much more aggressive ways and for much longer periods of time today. What is the impact of even a short separation?
The impact is harmful on children. And I can best explain this in the patterns of what we know happen to the brain with different types of stress. This has actually been something scientifically measured, the response of the body and the brain to different stressors. So there's a pattern that happens in young children, in all of us. It's called positive stress. Positive stress is brief and self-limited examples of stressful times that we all experience. So for a young child, this might be like a temper tantrum. So someone has said no, and they start crying. And what happens in their body and their brain is that their inflammatory markers, their fight or flight hormones rise. And then in the presence of an adult who can be caring and comforting, they fall and they're redirected. And the brain actually becomes resilient from that type of stress interaction. And we know that only happens in the presence of a loving and caring adult for a young child. Separation of parents and children results in something that we call toxic stress, where those same chemicals, those fight or flight hormones, the inflammatory markers, the cortisol remain high in these children. And without that parent to help buffer that reaction, these chemicals go on to destroy the architecture of that child's developing brain. They destroy the synapses that occur that result in the ability for that child to love, to learn, to develop. So separation, even for a short time, is something that's toxic to a child's developing brain.
And we're talking about emotional well-being. What about physical consequences to this?
So for young children, if they're exposed to toxic stress, the first thing that happens is disruption in their child development. So when we see young children who are separated from parents and who are not given that adult to be reassuring and loving, they go on initially to not develop their speech and language and not develop their gross motor skills and to have developmental delays. And some may even seem like they are on the autism spectrum. But later on, what this happens is it develops the consequences of what we call our adverse childhood experiences. And this stress goes on to develop heart disease, obesity, cancer, rheumatoid arthritis. So we know that there are terrible health consequences for these children as a result of this toxic stress.
Also, more broadly, the overall climate in the United States has rhetoric right now that I actually reported on this about a year ago about how children of color, Black children, Latino children, Muslim children are increasingly feeling like many people in this country are hostile towards them as a whole. Are there broader implications to this type of toxic stress?
There are absolutely broader implications to this type of toxic stress. What happens is that overall, this toxic stress really robs these children of the ability to love and to learn and to do well in school and to graduate from high school and to go on to college and to be successful. And later on in life, it robs them of their capacity to be healthy, grown adults.
Now let's talk about what can be done. Are there specific ages that children are more susceptible to this type of stress?
Children are most susceptible to toxic stress at very young ages. So we're talking the 0 to 3-year-olds, because that's when their brain is building. That's when the synapses are coming together. And in the brain, there are billions of these synapses, these connections that happen in the 0 to 3 years. And as they get older, these synapses are pruned away. So in the 0 to 3 age group, if a child is exposed to love, these synapses for learning, for language, for love become very strong. And what gets pruned away later on are the bad experiences, the upsets, the fear, the anxiety. In children who grow up with toxic stress, they never make those connections, and what stays and remains are anxiety, our fear, our other difficulties that go on to really rob that child of the ability to grow into a healthy adult.
And are there any solutions or any treatments that children who have already experienced this type of trauma should be aware of, or their parents should be aware of?
We know that children that have experienced this type of trauma, and many of them are in our foster care system, respond well to something called trauma-focused cognitive behavioral therapy or other therapies that really focus on the trauma that this child has experienced. And there are things that we can do for these kids, but it's much easier to build a strong child than to repair a child who's had this type of damage.
Dr. Colleen Kraft is president of the American Academy of Pediatrics. Thanks so much for being here, doctor.
Thank you.
The Takeaway is supported by Progressive Insurance, providing tools designed to help customers consider options from multiple insurers. Comparisons available at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Now that's Progressive.